Skip Holtz.
We ready?
Yep.
Here we are. It's finally signing day. I know coaches all over the country are taking a deep breath on this day, having the opportunity to ink so many of these young men that we've been chasing around the country for the last, really, I would say 2 months, but really for about the last year with the way that recruiting has started developing with everything. And I'm just really proud of the staff and the job that they were able to do. We had six coaches who really carried the bulk of this thing. When you talk about the holdovers with Coach Peterson, I thought Joe Sloan as a recruiting coordinator really did a nice job of really kind of organizing this class. But the job that Jabbar Jaluk did, Tim Rattay, Blake Baker, Ronnie Bradford, and putting this class together, I think they are really to be commended because I think it's a very talented class. We answered a lot of needs with this class. When you look at this this class, there's a lot of different ways to break them down. There are 14 on defense and 9 on offense. When you look at them geographically, there are 11 from the state of Louisiana, 3 from Arkansas, 5 from Texas, 3 from Mississippi, and 1 from the state of Florida. When you break them down geographically, when you break it down, you have 7 of them that played for or won a state championship. And when you look at 7 out of 23 is a pretty impressive number. But I just felt like really, really excited about this class. There's 22 high school players and 1 transfer. Probably the one thing that is missing from a Louisiana Tech class has been a junior college player, which we're really trying to wean ourselves off of that right now and trying to build this with high school players that are going to come in here and help us build it from the ground up. That doesn't mean that we'll never take another one, but right now we're trying to wean ourselves out of it, and we really felt like with some of the high school players that were along this I-20 corridor, I believe 12 of these players, 13 of these players, kind of from East Texas, Southern Arkansas, Shreveport, Monroe, Rayville, you start to look at it, I think 12 of them are from the I-20 corridor. We just felt like there was enough really good players, high school players that were interested that we had the opportunity to build it with. When looking at it, I feel like we answered, because one of the questions, what needs were you looking for? Obviously, it starts on defense, signing 14 over there, a very balanced class. We signed 3 linebackers. I really like the 3 linebackers, every one of them. They're extremely smart from a GPA standpoint when you look at them. They've got range. They can run. They'll hit. They're athletic. But I really like this group of linebackers coming in. I think when I first look at it, Brandon Derman, who is a young man that will enroll early, that has a chance to enroll in March, definitely has a chance to come in and make an impact. But I think the other two, and Dante Williams and Colin Scott, are very talented players, and really 3 very solid linebackers coming in. We signed 5 defensive linemen, 2 defensive ends, and Emmanuel Turner and Brandon Brinson. If you look at both of them, they're both about 6'4", 220 pounds. You're going to hear me use that word a lot. They can run, and they have range. We talk about trying to get that range, and you look at what Kurt Hester's done to guys that are on this football team. When you look at the redshirt year of a Carlos Henderson, and right now we're talking about Cedric Cooper, who's now a 208-pound safety at about 6'2". I just look at what he's done to Shane Carpenter, who came in at 270 pounds at 6'6", and now he's 315 pounds. And I just think he's done some great things with these guys, and that's one of the things that we look at these young players with, and that's what both these defensive ends have. They have range, they have speed, athleticism, and toughness, and if you can continue to recruit that, you certainly have a chance. On the defensive line, the tackles inside, we signed 3 of them. I think Jordan Bradford is a defensive tackle out of Mississippi, big, strong physical presence inside. Courtney Wallace, who I think was a kind of leads that group of defensive tackles, was a late addition coming down the stretch here from Monroe that I think has got huge size inside and, again, gives us the opportunity to make a presence inside. But really excited about what he brings to the table. And then LaDonte Davenport out of Shreveport, I think also those 3 guys inside and 2 on the edge give us 5 young guys to work with that are going to be here for a while. while, and so I'm really excited about getting them in here and watching their development. A year ago at this time, we had, on signing date coming into it, we did not sign very many defensive backs. We had lost three defensive backs the last three days before signing date. We lost three defensive backs and really kind of got rated at that position. So this year, we really tried to make up for it, signing six in the secondary, six players in the defensive secondary that I think really has a chance to be a special group. And when you look at the addition the last couple years of guys like Xavier Woods, Cedric Cooper, you look at what Kentrell Bryce is doing, what LeVander Liggins has done, Darius Barnes, I mean, you've got some Bryson Abraham, you've got some guys that have played a lot of football, but the depth was really important for this class. When I started at the corner, Ephraim Kitchen, I think, is probably the most polished. Really excited to get him in here to see what he can do. And I also think, I mean, Trey Spencer and Aaron Roberson from Shreveport, again, I think Aaron may be one of the more talented players in this class that would have an opportunity to play either way, although we're going to start him at corner. And at the safety position, it starts with James Jackson from Hainesville, right up the road, 190 pounds. He's a 6-foot safety, but yet he plays center on his basketball team because of his athleticism, his jumping ability, some of the things that he can do, because I think he's really going to develop into one of the better safeties in this league before he leaves here. Really like what he brings to the table. And then Theron Williams, a young man from New Orleans that I think brings, again, a toughness, kind of a linebacker mentality, the safety position, and then also Johnny Shaw was a young man that committed to Texas early in this process, decommitted there, and then ended up coming here. And again, I just think the world of him and what he can be and what he can develop into as a safety. So overall, when you look at the defensive side of the ball, it's a very balanced class, six in the secondary, three linebackers, and then five up front on the defensive line. When you go to the offensive side of the ball, I'm really excited about the three high school offensive linemen. You know, a year ago we signed Shane Carpenter, and you look at him as a red shirt and a guy that has a chance to step in and compete for starting time right now. I think when you look at O'Shea Dugas, when you look at Dante Lovett, who I think has got huge size with where he is, then Ephraim, I think all three of them are very talented. They all have range. They all have size. Took a picture of the three of them when they were here. They're all about 6'4 to 6'6. They're all about 280 to 300 pounds. I think all three of them really have a chance to be really good players here. It'd be exciting to see their development. You never know until an offensive lineman gets here. You don't want to count on them to come in and play as a freshman, but I think they all three are going to be really standout players here, and it'll be nice to see young guys like that that are going to be in the program for a long period of time. At the running back position, we signed a running back out of Southern Arkansas, Jaquise Dancy, who I think is a steal. I think he is really a special player, a great combination of size, athleticism, and speed when you look at his highlight film and what he does, and you know the number of yards that he rushed for and hardly played in the second half this year. I just think a very talented player and a great get for us here at Louisiana Tech, even though when you look at the depth of our tailback position, having guys like Jared Kraft coming in from Houghton a year ago and playing, and having the Kenneth Dixon and the Blake Martins and the Seats and some of the guys that we have there right now, we've got a little depth there, but he's definitely a guy that I think has a chance to be a big play threat for us in the future. Now, we signed three wide receivers. I like all three of them. They're all three different in their own ways. Again, talking about Jared Kraft coming in from Houghton and some of the Houghton players that have come in here and had great success. I think it starts with Javonte Woodard. Very talented, a lot of speed. You look at him and you look at Rasheed Bonnet. Both those two guys, I think, bring speed and athleticism to the position. Jamarian Johnson, who is a 6'4", 220-pound athlete, right now is going to start at wide receiver. If he gets bigger, he could always move inside, but I think kind of gives you some mismatch issues. Now, we do return a pretty good nucleus of receivers coming back. When you look at Paul Turner, Trent Taylor, Carlos Henderson, some of those guys that played a lot for us, a couple of the freshmen, and Marlon Watts and Marcus Gaines. It'd be harder for those guys to get on the field this year, but I'm really excited to see what they bring. And then the quarterback position, Jamar Smith, I think is a very talented young player. Was one of the players in the Mississippi All-Star game, a very talented quarterback. You know, when you're watching him on film, you hear, well, he may be a little bit undersized, but when you meet him in person, he's got great strength, great size. I mean, he's 220 pounds, throws the ball, runs with it, athletic. I think is going to be, when you start looking at Price Wilson, Alex Woodall, and Jamar Smith, you've got three really good quarterbacks that are in the redshirt freshman and the freshman class that I think are going to bode very well for the future here at Louisiana Tech. And then the one transfer is Jeff Driscoll. Jeff Driscoll, I think, has a chance to come in here and really be a special player. We came into this season and we said we have one upperclassman in Ryan Higgins, who I think has made some great strides in the last year. Excited to watch him continue to grow as a player. But when you look at Ohio State, they played three quarterbacks this year. And we're going to have a junior, two redshirt freshmen, and a freshman. And that's why we were interested in bringing another transfer in here to give us an opportunity to play with some upperclassmen at that position while some of the young guys continue to get their feet underneath them. Jeff brings a combination, again, of speed and athleticism. He throws the ball very well. He'll be here in March, and I'm looking forward to him getting here in March and seeing what he has the ability to do. I know he was a very highly recruited young man, but I have just really been impressed just with his presence, his class, the way he's carried himself. I've just really been impressed with him as a young man, with everything that he's been through. I'm looking forward to getting him here and getting on the field with him. So right now, I mean, with recruiting, kind of signing day here, signing 23, we do have 25 available. Just like last year, we save a couple spots because there's always some transfers that show up. Last year, I believe it was during spring ball that we pretty much nailed down Cody Sokol and Houston Bates, which turned out to be two pretty impactful players for us last year and gave us the ability to have some success. So we will continue to have our eyes open for that, for some of those guys that have an opportunity to be late additions to this football team. But really excited about the high school players, the class that's been put together, and having recruiting kind of in the books that we know these guys are here, that they'll be reporting this summer, with two of them being here in March, and watching these kind of guys grow as a class. And Kurt Hester right now has been working with his football team. I think he's doing an unbelievable job. You're looking at some of these upperclassmen that are really changing their bodies right now, that are really excited. There were seven freshmen that played a year ago. When you start looking at the Jared Crafts and the Roland Dunns and Cedric Coopers and Russell Ferris's, as you go down the line, Marcus Gaines, Marlon Watts, there were seven freshmen that played that I think, watching these guys develop and watching these guys continue to grow, it's neat to see what they're doing to their body. We start our winter workouts on Monday, where the coaches will have the opportunity to be on the field with our football team. We begin spring practice on March 13th, and that will culminate with the spring game on April 18th. And so that's kind of what we have going for the spring, and just really excited about signing date and getting these guys in the boat. Are there any questions that I can answer for anybody?
I remember talking to you at your first signing class, and then again last year, and you kept mentioning the I-20 corridor. Well, I guess that you wasn't kidding. 10 guys from southern Arkansas and then from north Louisiana in this class. Just kind of talk about keeping the guys, you know, kind of building a fence around your area.
Well, and this is where it starts. We talked about how important the state of Louisiana was to us. And, you know, every year, you're not going to sign 12 every year, but when you have a year like this and you've got this many talented players along this corridor, this is where it starts. We've always talked about if you gave somebody here at Louisiana Tech a globe, they spin it to find the United States. You give them a map of the United States, they look for Louisiana. You know, you give them a map of Louisiana, they look for that that I-20 corridor right in the middle of the state. This is home. This is where we are, and we think it's important that we start here and we work our way out. We're going to try and find those 25 players that we feel have a chance to come in here, that believe in this program, that believe in what we're doing, that want to stay close to home and have an opportunity to play in front of their family and friends and play a high level of football and win and participate in bowl games and kind of be part of an exciting program right now. And it's certainly evident by what we were able to do this year and going over to Dallas and winning the Heart of Dallas Bowl against a Big Ten team. I think this building that's outside definitely has an impact on recruiting and has helped create a lot of excitement. You know, when you get down there on the field, you realize how big that structure is sitting right off the field there. And as the steel is going up and these guys are working extremely hard, I think that is helping create a lot of excitement, and it's showing the commitment that the university is making to this football program and the level that we want to compete. And so I think all those things go into the equation of building this Louisiana Tech athletic program and the football team, especially when we start recruiting right here in this area. And these people from right down the road, if they feel they can come here, go to bowls, develop, be with one of the best strength coaches, play a high level of football, win, go to bowl games, graduate, and have a great experience, then there's not a lot of reasons to leave Northern Louisiana.
You, like Brady said, you mentioned that when you first got here, that mm-hmm. you wanted to build a wall around I-20 and I-10. Did you ever expect this quality, even though you said it that early on?
Yeah, I guess you're wishful thinking when we first got here, yes. And when you look at the way this program was built the previous years before we got here, there was an awful lot of junior colleges, an awful lot of junior college takings over the last couple years before we got here. And so we just really felt like we wanted to build it with the stability of high school players. And, you know, you never really know. It's not just we recruited them the last 2 years. We just didn't have the same response we had this year. And I think that's where our success on the field, our success in the bowl game, the building of the building, being one of the top schools in the country the last 3 years as far as graduates that are playing with their degree in their hand. I think all those things have gone into the equation to make Louisiana Tech more attractive to some of these players. But we're going to continue to recruit the state of Louisiana. That's first and foremost. And we are pretty much, I believe, out of our 23, 22 of them are within a four-hour car ride of where we sit, right where we are. And for us, that's huge.
How much perception was changed as you guys kept adding the wins on this year and winning the bowl game? The perception of the program from around, as you talk to recruits, how big was that?
Well, I think that's where a young man like Courtney Wallace, you know what I mean, who's right here locally from the Monroe area, that maybe early thought bigger was better. But then when he really had an opportunity to see the way the season played out and the success that a lot of these guys from the northern part, the success that Xavier Woods is having coming in here as a true freshman, had an opportunity to leave to go to other programs, turned them down, as many of these high school players on this list did, turned down other Division I BCS programs to be here. But when you look at Xavier Woods that started every game, Trent Taylor, who's our leading receiver, coming in from Shreveport, and a lot of these younger players, when you look at Kenneth Dixon, who's from 45 minutes away, who comes here, starts every game, and some of the accolades and some of the things that he's done, I think a lot of people realize you don't need to leave Northern Louisiana to play big-time football and to get those accolades and those opportunities to continue playing and going into the NFL. Because as we tell so many of them, I mean, what you want to do is you want to find a place you can play, because I mean, being in a stadium with a lot of people and being on the sideline is not the objective or the goal. You know what I mean? You want to get on the field and you want to play, and that's a way you have an opportunity to make your mark. And that's what so many of these players have done that have come from the local areas to come to Louisiana Tech the last couple years.
Coach, this recruiting class, y'all built it probably quicker than any class in the history of Louisiana Tech. Had 20 plus commitments really before the season ever started.
Yes.
How hard was it to hold on to everybody down the stretch?
Well, difficult. I mean, it is, because a lot of them, as I said, a lot of them had opportunities to go to other schools. Many of these young men were visited by schools out of the Big 12, the SEC, and had some opportunities to leave. but so many of them stayed with their commitment. And for that, I look at the character of these young men that said, I made this decision in June and I'm sticking with it. And then, you know, you look at some others that maybe got caught up in the recruiting process and the size of the prize out there and got in with some of that. And some of that is hard to combat and hard to compete. But for those that I've always said in recruiting, I am excited about the ones we get, the ones that come, the ones that have that character to stick by their word and their name and say, this is what I want to do. And it was hard to hang on to them, but I think that's a real compliment to this staff and the job they did undermanned a little bit with really three coaches leaving during the recruiting process. And those six guys I mentioned at the beginning having to really hold on and continue with these relationships. I thought Rick Petrie did a very nice job coming in here and building a relationship with those five defensive linemen. Even, I think, was very influential in helping with Courtney Wallace's decision to stay here close to home. And I think Robert McFarland did a really good job with those offensive linemen. I mean, I look at those three linemen and look at their size and athleticism. I think they have a chance to really be special, and to have three high school linemen that come in here that have a chance to be here for the next 5 years kind of excites me about the future.
You say you were undermanned this year. What was different than last year? You lost coaches last year. Was it just that they were in the system longer and were more adept to recruiting the area?
No, I mean, like, we lose Stan Egan after signing date. You know what I mean? He was here through signing, and then he left right after recruiting ended. So we had a much better nucleus. But when you lose, you know, all of a sudden you lose your defense coordinator, your defensive line coach, and you feel like you got to put people in place. You got two guys left on defense to kind of hold it all together. And offensively, like I said, I can't say enough positive things of what those guys have done in building relationships. But we still have another coach that I have not hired yet. We've still been a coach short. When I made the decision to move Blake Baker, to promote him to coordinator and move him up to the linebackers, he kind of held the linebackers. Ronnie Bradford took over the whole secondary, and Rick Petrie came in taking the defensive line. But we still have a safety coach, one to hire in the back end. So we've been doing it a little bit shorthanded, but I felt like our focus needed to be to get in with these young men, to get into their homes, and for me to get around. I believe in the last week of recruiting, I drove 1,980 miles from Sunday to Thursday, participating in 18 home visits. So when you start to look at that, I felt like it was more important that we did that and got in front of these young men than it was that we put another coach in place. And so that's one of the things that we're going to try and work on and see if we can get that done by the end of the week here.
Coach, in every stop, have you always done the team recruiting deal? And that probably helped you this year because of the departures in your staff. But have you always done that where everybody takes a role with every kid?
Well, I think, and you hit it on it earlier, with the number of players that we had commit early, really you were recruiting about 25 players rather than having to recruit 50 to sign your 25. And so with 25 players that were committed so early, we had the opportunity to tag team and go into a home with a coordinator, with a position coach, with a recruiting coach, with a head coach, and really kind of put an emphasis on how important this young man was in our process. So I think a lot of those young men committing earlier, which is kind of the wave that's starting to happen, you're seeing a lot more people do that and kind of getting a jump on 2016 early. But I think it definitely helped us hold on to a number of these young men and show the emphasis that we had on them and how important they were to our class when some of these other suitors came calling late in the recruiting process.
With Coach Baker, how has that transition gone, recruiting and otherwise, so far?
It's gone great. I think it's gone great for a lot of the commitments on the defensive side of the ball. I think what they were worried about was, you know, when Coach Diaz left, would the defense change? What's going to happen? I mean, do I fit in the same way that I did before? Is it going to be the same defense I watched last season that I committed to, that I wanted to be a part of? And I think that was part of promoting Blake Baker. The terminology is going to stay the same. Not that that was a big issue for our signees, but I thought that was a huge issue for our players. Our players have had, defensively, have had three coordinators in 3 years. I didn't want to make it a fourth where they were having to learn a whole new terminology. And even though it's a new coordinator, there's a familiarity with Coach Baker. There's a familiarity with his coaching style, with his terminology, and with the style of defense that we're going to run. So with a lot of that staying the same, I thought that was the Lisa Brasif move for our defense to make sure that we can not go into spring this year teaching what to do, but teaching how to do it and getting a little bit better and taking another step forward with what we want to do. So I thought it was good for our players. I thought it was the right move for our players, and I thought it was the right move from a recruiting standpoint with so many of these young men that enjoyed the aggressive style that we played defensively, and that's why I made it. There was not a shortage of coaches that were very interested in the coordinator job. Some name coaches, some experienced coaches, and some coaches that I think would have been huge wows to say that he wanted to be here. But I felt like the right move was Blake Baker internally with what we needed for our football team right now and for the signees that we had, with the number of them that we had that committed early. Because when you look at the 14 signees, I think the majority of them were in the boat before the season began.
What would you say you're most impressed with this class?
I would say that probably the key to it all has been speed. I mean, that's one of the things that we have really tried to recruit here. When I look at this football team with six in the secondary and three wide receivers and a running back four, that gives you 10 guys in this class that are skilled players, that I think that's the one ingredient you see with all of them is they can run, they're physical, and they're aggressive. And so that was one of the things that I think is the main thing that I see with this overall class, with the skill players. But then I look at it and to say that we just signed 8 offensive and defensive linemen as freshmen in high schools, I think it's been a long time since that's happened here, and trying to build a program with a foundation with high school players that are going to be in your program for 4 and 5 years.
Nolan, on special teams, why did you decide to not maybe sign an extra kicker, punter?
Because, I mean, when you look at our statistics, it certainly wasn't that we couldn't use one, because we could, because we were 120th out of 128 teams in the country in punting average. And when you look at it, we were 63% in our field goal tries last year, which neither one are good enough to win with. But when you looked at, we can only sign 25. We didn't have any to count backwards, and we only had 25, and I felt like we had bigger needs at other positions rather than trying to continue to just stockpile kickers or punters. And if we went and signed another one, that would have been one less defensive back, one less offensive lineman, one less of something else that I felt like we really needed. I am hopeful that the kickers and punters that we have on scholarship here right now will continue to improve and get better and can play a stronger role for us as we move forward into this year. And then you're always looking for a walk-on that's looking for an opportunity to come out and beat somebody out and earn a scholarship.
With special teams, I know this is from a few years back, but having a Tech alum be in the Super Bowl, was that and a couple guys in the Super Bowl, was that something that you were able to use in your recruiting pitch at all?
I hope it motivates our present punters and kickers to kick and punt the ball better. But certainly the success of many of these players that have had in the NFL speaks volumes. I think it would be very difficult to say that Justin Ellis's success didn't affect Courtney Wallace down the road, coming from the same high school, that his success to go be on the all-rookie team as a rookie in the NFL after playing here at Louisiana Tech, or the success of IK and Impale, or many of the different players that we have in the NFL, I certainly think that helps build the image of what we're doing here and how we're building it here at Louisiana Tech.
For the Shreveport guys, they were asking about the local talent here and some of the success from some of the guys like Kraft and then Taylor from a year ago. How is their success as being a Shreveport area guys affected being able to recruit there as well and wanting to get more from that area?
Well, I think when you recruit an area, you know, it starts, you know, you start with one or two, and then they come and have success, and then you get three or four, then five or six, and before you know it, you start to build an area as your own. And that's really, it's going to take us time to do that. When I look at the players that we've had out of the Shreveport-Bossier area, when I look at the success out of Houghton that we've had, you know, with Marlon Maryland seats and Kraft, and now with Woodard coming in here, I think we've with Trent Taylor, with Xavier Woods, with Paul Turner, even with Mims and the great job that he's done coming in here, I think all those things go a long way in helping us build it. And hopefully as we look at this big class of signings, when these guys come in and have some success, it's only going to make it that much easier for so much of this local talent to say, you know what, I don't care who else calls me, Louisiana Tech's an option because it's 30 minutes down the road, an hour down the road. My family can be at every game. I can play a high-level football. I can build my career to get into the NFL, go to bowl games, and have success. And if you can do that, because I don't think it's just about us recruiting that area, it's about that area feeling like Louisiana Tech is a valid option for them, regardless of who offers them. And when you look at some of the schools that a lot of these people have turned down, that is becoming more and more of a reality.
To piggyback on that question, a Shreveport area high school coach was on Tim Fletcher's show here recently and talked about how you guys did the best job locally to recruit Shreveport than any other school. I'm sure you're thankful for that.
I am.
But what do y'all do that's maybe different than what they're doing?
We're there. We're going to be in every school in the state a minimum of once a year. We're going to get out into the state a minimum of once a year. Most of the schools, especially on the I-20 corridor that are in some of the more populated places, we will be in twice in the spring, and then a couple times during the December and January times that we can go out. We've put our emphasis here. And what we've done, this is where we spend our time. And they say that's wherever you put your time kind of is where you're going to get your results from. And we've certainly tried to spend our time. And I think there's great football in the I-20 corridor. You know, when we talk about the whole northern part of the state, even when you get into Mississippi and East Texas and southern Arkansas, I think there's a lot of talent in the state. And we just need to make sure that we do a great job of beating the bushes and going in these schools every year and identifying a lot of these young men as sophomores and juniors and getting them on our recruiting radar and following them and making sure that they're doing what they need to do academically and those type of things. And I think it'll continue to hopefully steamroll and build this as we continue to move forward.
Back to Wallace, do you see any similarities between me and Jelly?
Well, they're both about 340 pounds. I see that, and they're both from Neville High School, and they both have great feet. You know, I think Justin did a great job of coming in here and working extremely hard and having the opportunity to coach him. I didn't recruit him, but having the opportunity to coach him and see how much he developed as a young man with his work habits, and that's what I'm anxious to see where Courtney is, you know, when he comes in. I know he's got great size. He's got phenomenal power, and I think he's got great feet, and it's just going to be how quickly he adjusts to the learning curve that goes into playing college football, but very talented player and a lot of similarities with what they are athletically.
Kind of a broad question, but you know, I know you've been in this game for a while. How has the recruiting game and National Signing Day changed, you know, from your times maybe South Carolina to ECU to USF and now here?
You know, it's the timing of it is the biggest thing. I mean, you watch young men used to take their visits in January and start making their decisions the last 2 weeks of January. And so it was kind of, you'd recruit them all along, but then it was an all-out sprint. Now all of a sudden you go into the season, you have 20 commitments, and you're like, let's just make sure we maintain this. I think it's much more, we know much more about these student athletes. We're in on them earlier. We know more about where they are academically. We've been around them more with the way that summer camps have really continued to move on and us having the opportunity to get out in the spring. I also think that recruiting has changed from a standpoint that it's gotten the world's gotten a lot smaller with the use of the internet. I think there are schools that are recruiting a much broader area than they used to, because they can now pull up the internet and watch a young man on film and go, you know what, offer him. Where we are kind of recruiting this area the old-fashioned way of going in the schools, developing relationships with the high school coaches and trying to get on these young men earlier. But I think these young men have a lot more attention on them now than they ever have in the past. I think that, you know, I enjoy the recruiting part of it. I enjoy getting to know know many of these families and these young men. When you look at with the 23 signees, I mean, you probably had, you know, 23 just really great experiences, having the opportunity to meet the parents, to meet the young man, to get around him and be really impressed with him. And, you know, there's an underbelly, and there's some people that change your minds at the last minute, and they're 18-year-olds, and they're, you know, they get confused with all the information being thrown at them. But ultimately, what recruiting is about is not how many stars are next to your name. It's not how many offers you get. It's about making sure that you find a place that you feel you can go graduate, get on the field and develop as a football player and have a phenomenal experience socially in a family atmosphere. And if you can find that, then I think that's what recruiting is all about. And that's why I'm so proud of this football team and the way we're trying to build it here right now, because I think it plays to many of the players that we're trying to attract.
Anything else? All right, thank you.
Thank you all.
Other than that, I don't have